Things that we don't know and we have to figure out how to talk about them when we don't know them. Much like this intro. I'm joined as always by my friends Allison, who is a desert tortoise worshiper. And I was going to say like repairman or repairwoman or something. But you can really repair a desert tortoise because they're perfect as they are. And Gary, who is currently hunting alligators. He's auditioning to be the new crocodile alligator guy. So if he loses a limb, then that's, I guess, part of the job requirements. This is a podcast where we talk about things. Allison comes up to us with a topic. Gary and I don't know what the topic is beforehand. We probably don't know what the topic is afterhand. And try to talk about it in sort of a way that kind of sort of makes sense, kind of like Balderdash, except it's a podcast. And then we answer questions and things.
Indeed. Yeah,
that sounds about right. I mean, that's what I was expecting when I called into this thing this morning, so that works for me.
Gary, is your shirt an actual NASA shirt, or is your shirt like a fake NASA shirt? Okay, it's an actual NASA shirt.
Well, I mean, it wasn't made by NASA, so
I know, but
fake,
like I've got the same design except it says Rogue, and I was wondering if yours is other than NASA.
No, this is like this is an old one. I don't know if you can tell, like the logo is like wearing off. I wear this shirt quite often.
I thought that was just.
The design?
Yeah, like cleverly worn. Artificially faded.
It's officially faded.
Like the kids with the holes in their jeans on purpose.
Yeah. Ugh, youths.
I remember back when I was a kid and watching Nickelodeon, and there was a workshop demo thing on how to get holes in your jeans, how to put holes in your jeans.
Mm-hmm. How to disguise them properly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a belt sander, right?
They use sandpaper, yeah. I mean, a belt sander probably worked better. That wasn't what they were using. They were just using sandpaper. And I was like, I could do that. And then I tried it, and I was like, No, I can't.
You're capable of anything except that. Okay, so the topic this week. Ooh, nice background. Then Gary disappears because he got eaten by a crocodile.
Looks like Florida.
I know, Jess. It's very much what I imagine Florida to be like.
It is like Florida.
What if you come across anybody on your walk, they're just going to be so confused about what you're
like
doing.
Like meandering with like headphones on?
Yeah.
Well.
Like how do you explain yourself?
I don't. I just mute and say hello and keep on walking. I mute on here, not to that.
In real life.
Maybe I just wave at him. It depends on, like, if I'm in the middle of making a point, I might just give a head nod. Ask him, hey, can you please sign this release form so you can be on this podcast? Oh, yeah. This is a beautiful view.
Release camera forms. Like, for that particular. That's so funny. This is confidential stuff. The release forms, there's an NDA, there's all sorts of confidential.
There's a DNA, there's an RNA. Yeah.
So let's get to it. The topic this week is pogonology.
Pogonology.
Yeah.
I actually know what pogonology is. This is a launch mechanism for rockets that use like a one bounce to get into space.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the study of the pogo effect. So yeah. Yeah, does the rockets using the Pogonology technology, do they have to be dropped from a particular height, or is there some sort of like spring recoil system that they use instead?
That's the really exciting part of the technology, is that it's like rapidly growing. I think Blue Origin has some great prototypes using the spring method, and I guess we'll see.
What's the spring made out of?
Alloy. Everything in space is made out of an alloy.
Alloy. What is alloy?
Oh, we're changing the topic. I don't know.
Just like, get in there, figure it out. I can't answer that.
Honestly, Pogo / spring recoil system would not be the worst idea for getting spaceships off of other planets.
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to like physics dictates that if you bounce something, right, it's not going to bounce as high as it was when it came down, right?
But wouldn't it depend on the gravity situation?
Right.
Like the atmosphere of that.
Yeah, you just need to get it going.
Well, I was wondering if maybe in conjunction with that, like you could do like a quick little burn, get mm-hmm. some height, and then come down, and then like on the bounce, you'd really fire it off, you know, so you'd get like the added bonus. But if you're going to do that, why wouldn't you just fire at the peak of the initial bump?
Because springs and trampolines are more fun?
Yeah, and you need the extra.
It's hard to argue with that. It's hard to argue with that.
Need the extra oomph.
I don't think they're taking into the fun factor into consideration when they're bringing all the science and propulsion. That's what NASA
totally.
That's what physics is missing. It's the
that's fun. What physics.
There's no fun in physics.
They're not focusing on it. They're not. It's there. They just need to like nurture it. Add more springs.
In all seriousness, Pogonautics, like nautic, like water, right? So is Pogonautics like when you get like a little above ground pool and you get in the middle and you like bounce up and down and it makes like enormous waves?
Pogonautics.
Sure. I'm not sure that your logic is sound, but we'll go along with that and we'll say yes.
Oh, it was better on the rocket thing. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you're changing Pogonology to Pogonautics, which is a whole different industry, really.
I misremembered what the topic was.
Pogonautics is just a whole, yeah, we're going from space to the ocean now.
Yeah.
So there was a prototype for a rocket. I don't remember what it was called, but it so large they wouldn't have a launch pad. They would float it out and then launch from the ocean, which I think is a pretty brilliant idea. It never happened.
Jacques Cousteau wouldn't let it happen, probably.
Yeah, can you imagine all the fish? Fried fish floating on the surface.
Fried fish.
Or boiled fish, I guess, not fried.
Well, unless you believe that the ocean is just pure vegetable oil.
You'd need a lot to fry that.
You would.
I don't know that just one rocket would be enough to fry the fish in the ocean if it was pure vegetable oil.
What does the suffix mean, Chris? Knowledge.
Knowledge. The study of a thing. No, not even a study, necessarily. It's a thing. That's what it means.
Oh, I think you're right. Ology. Biology. So pogon is the word we need to figure out. Pogonology.
Yes. Obviously, it's you know, the study of pogons.
And pogons famously
are famously atoms that bounce.
Do you, either of you remember pogs? We talked about
yes.
Pogs?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's not
what this is in referencing at all.
No, but it could be a blog dedicated to pogs.
I had a very small collection of pogs, but I very much enjoyed
it. I had like, I don't know, three pogs?
I had a much larger collection than you. I think I probably had close to 20.
I never really got on board. I didn't really understand.
But I don't know that I ever actually played Pogs, like the game, with people. I just had the things because they were like cool and collectible.
Yeah.
Oh, I played with a neighbor across the street, but we didn't play for keeps because, I don't know, whatever.
Because you were kids and kids get angry when people take their shit?
Yeah.
And because Pogs is essentially gambling with something that's completely meaningless?
Cardboard chips.
Yeah.
I don't remember like what... I wish I could remember like what I had on my Pogs, like what characters and whatever.
It didn't matter so much
at the time.
That was when I was beginning my hair metal phase. So there's definitely like a skull on one of them at least.
Badass.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, and I bet it had like that metallic.
The foil.
Yeah.
Sure.
But now, Pokemon, some like you can get like Pokemon coins because you know in some parts of some cards or some things in Pokemon you have to flip a coin. So there's actual like Pokemon coins that are essentially Pogs.
I didn't know that.
They're just plastic. But that's what they are. So I've seen them because my kids have a couple of them from some deck they got or something. I was like, that's a Pog. It's not a coin, it's a Pog.
You're like, in my day.
So back to Pogons. It's really bothering me. I don't know what a Pogon is.
It's a bouncy particle.
Do you think
it's what creates the Pogon sphere. Which is much like a Dyson sphere. The Pogon sphere is sort of a gelatinous sphere that no matter how hard you push from any direction, it always bounces back to its perfect shape.
Ooh.
Huh. And this is the study of that?
No, it's just that sphere is made of Pogons.
Oh.
Like orbiting.
All right.
I like the
technology. The technology they use to bind the Pogons together is really interesting, actually.
Go on. I'm interested.
Didn't you do some sort of paper on that, Gary?
Did I write a paper on how they bind Pogons together?
Yeah. In college.
It was very...
That was your thesis, right?
It may have been had I succeeded in college, and it probably would have been very short and been like, chapter one, double-sided tape. I think as we covered, my college experience was more about the social aspect of being a human than the knowledge aspect.
Well, that has to do with Pogons.
I don't think it does.
It could.
A party of chemists gets wild and crazy on one glass of wine, and they start drinking Pogons, and then all hell breaks loose.
Once you start slamming a few Pogons down, it's
maybe it's like the thing that happens when you get a bunch of chemists together, and there is that it's a chemist orgy, I guess, is where I'm going.
That's not a thing that we need to go to.
maybe because we're not chemists.
I was
classically trained.
What's the term for? Is it a bacchanalia? Is that the?
Yeah.
That's so. So that's far away from a Pogonology.
I don't know what that term means. What does that term mean?
Well, Bacchus is the god of kind of gluttony, I guess, like parties and drinking and sex and orgies. So a bacchanalia is a party that does all those things, or any a combination of those things.
Like an excess. Very,
yeah, it's like
definitely like overindulgence of.
Yeah, indulgence is what I was going for. Yeah.
So that definitely sounds like a research paper I would write. Maybe not write. Maybe just research.
Field study.
Field study. Yeah.
Practicum.
A practicum in Pogonology.
Wow. This took a turn. Sorry, that's my bad. Thinking about lab coats, I guess.
Thinking about lab coats makes you think of bacchanalias?
Apparently. Seems to be the case. There's a turtle in the lake right now. Not to change the topic, but I saw something floating and I was pretty excited for a minute. I wonder if it'll
because, see, I immediately go true crime and go like, it's a body.
Can I zoom in? I can't zoom in. No, there's no way you'll be able to see that. And he just dove down anyway. I feel like I'm being watched. Gotta get out of here.
And then the tail takes a weird turn. Gary was being watched, but not realizing by what.
Oh, there's the gator.
Figure in the woods.
That'd be great. Well, this is kind of a weird thing. So this property line is like up. I don't know if you can see behind me here. There's some houses right there. So only, I don't know, 80 yards that way is like the back end of a neighborhood. And it looks around this lake.
Definitely. You're like, right now, basically what's happening is you're the weird guy that's wandering around the woods in people's kind of extended backyards, talking to himself, essentially.
It might appear that way. That's...
Yes, but at least he said he's wearing shoes this time.
Okay. That's valid. Shoes.
It's not
I mean, sandals.
It's not the barefoot guy in the woods talking to himself. Wandering around in people's backyards.
Yeah. We should walk over by the fire pit. Now you got me all paranoid. Someone's going to come out here and be like, hey, what are you doing, buddy?
Well, if you're in their backyard, they could very well.
This is not their backyard. This is the school's property. Anyway.
Pokeology.
Oh, man. I wish that I knew, like, even had an inkling of what Pogon means. Or Pogo.
Well, we know what Pogo means.
But do we? Like, we know,
it's
we think
when
we
you go to a club and you start jumping up and down. Pogoing.
That's the pogo?
That's pogo.
Did you ever own a pogo stick as a kid?
I did not own a pogo stick ever. I think Allison. I set foot on a pogo stick once in my life and fell off promptly.
Yeah, they're not easy to do. Allison, did you own a pogo stick?
No.
I own two.
Saturn things, though.
That yeah.
Like the balance, yeah. But that's different.
That's a pogo ball, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pogo sticks are fun, but it's an interesting thing because you're kind of like jumping in slow motion and it exaggerates your movement on the jump. Hmm. So I bought two at a garage sale in the same summer as a kid. I think maybe $1 a piece. And I probably overpaid. and so the plastic one, or they had like plastic like foot pegs on it. Unbeknownst to me when I bought it, like one of those was already broken. So you couldn't really use it. The other one was this like rusty metal thing from probably like before there was like Consumer Protection Agency. That's the one I used. And like there was no like rubber foot on it. It was just like a metal pipe that came down and like if you bounced it on somebody's foot, you were gonna cut their toe off, right? And it had this like terrible squeak, like as the metal like shrieked past itself internal, like the shaft. So I got really good on that one. And so there were like little circular marks, like on the sidewalk in front of my house where I could like, where I would pogo for, I mean, I could get as high as like 10 or 15 bounces before I wiped out and ate it. So for some family event, my uncle was over and he had a few beers and was like, let me try that. Oh, and did one bounce, and that was the end of that pogo stick.
Yeah,
I think like I don't remember what broke, but I remember it being like everything. That's accurate.
It just sort of disintegrated.
Yeah, it was like I've had enough. This is not the life for me. As a 100-year-old pogo stick from back when children, you know, it was probably made by a child. Like it was probably child labor involved in the creation of this metal pogo stick. It was a death trap. I'm not sure, like why my parents weren't like, you know. I mean, because, like, the spring was, like, totally, like, right there by your, like, everything. If you got in, and that spring expanded a lot. If you got something, like, jammed in there, it was going to crunch, like, fingers or skin or anything. Yeah.
But it didn't. So it was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived to tell about it. Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
I can picture exactly the kind of rusty metal that it was made out of too.
And the handles, like, you remember, like, the old style, like, was, like, barely a piece of plastic around the handle from, like, old BMX bikes. Like, that was the handle. The foot pegs were just like these metal, like, grating things sticking out, like, welded on. Oh, it was industrial. I'm not sure, like, what the industrial use would be for a pogo stick, but if there was one, this one came from, like, in a factory where you needed to use a pogo stick.
Obviously, launching rockets into space.
you had to bounce up to, like, light the rocket.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great engineer.
Mention. Yes.
Pogonologist.
Pogonologist. Yeah, pogo ball is another thing I fell off of. Yeah, I think I tried that. I think I did better on the pogo ball than I ever did on the pogo stick. I think I could get a couple bounces, but you never got much height on the pogo ball.
Yeah.
No.
Like, balance-based things, I'm just not, like, that's why I was never, like, skateboarder or, like...
I skateboarded for a while. I had a really crappy skateboard. I did not have the skateboard that had the two ends that I had a banana board that only had the one end that went up. And it was, like, super cheap. But I, at some point, so my, when I turned, I want to say, like, 14 or something, my parents got me this brand new 12-speed bike. And literally within a week, it got stolen. And I didn't get another bike.
No.
So, yeah, skateboard was a mode of transportation that I used. And so I actually skateboarded across towns on occasion, like from my parents' house or my parents' apartment, which was, like, you know, three cities down to, you know, the city where my grandparents lived, sort of thing. Like, you know, I mean, like, on residential streets and whatever. But yeah, I not very fast, not very good because the board wasn't that good, but I skateboarded.
I bought a real skateboard.
Point A to point, like, B.
Yeah.
Like, when I was too old to be buying a real skateboard, I was probably, I don't know, like 19 or something. I bought, like, a nice skateboard thinking, like, well, it'd be fun to know how to skateboard and, like, ollie and stuff. And I had, from my, like, rollerblading days, I still had, like, a pipe set up on some, like, wood in the garage of my parents' house. So I thought, well, maybe I could figure out how to grind. I think the first, like, I figured out how to ollie, and the first time I got the board, like, up on the pipe, like, the trucks hit, and the board went flying, like, at ridiculously impossible speed away from me, leaving me, like, temporarily, like, hovering in the air, like, over this pipe. There was no way I wasn't coming down, like, on the pipe. And, like, I remember in the air, like, oh, this is why I shouldn't be skateboarding. And that was it. I didn't break anything. It hurt like heck. I went and picked up a skateboard and was like, well, I'll just use this to get around and maybe ollie. And that's about it. Like, no tricks, no kickflips or anything like that. Just,
yeah. I always wanted to do tricks, but I, didn't have a board to do them, and B, was never.
They're really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
I could maybe ollie, maybe, but I don't think I could even do that really.
Yeah, my ollie would be, you know, measured in a couple of inches. Like, technically, the board was not on the ground. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think I was ollieing over anything. Like, I would, you know, if I was ollieing, it was happening, like, I was moving very slowly. I was getting it up and then back down and maybe staying on the board for the duration of the rollout.
I mean, my trick was being able to skateboard over, like, cracks in sidewalk.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Without the board, without, like, the wheels just hitting the crack and sending me flying, also happened. So that was when I learned that if you, like, kick the back, you know, the front up a little bit, and you can get over the, yeah.
We had one of those dogs that liked to, like, really pull on the leash and run. So when I got the skateboard, I thought, this is going to be great. Like, we're just going to hit the road. And I greatly overestimated how much control I would have. Like, so we came to the first corner.
You're picturing more of a sled dog situation.
Yeah, and he, like, turned the corner and started running 90 degrees the direction I was going, and I tried to turn, and then I was, like, off the board, flailing, running after him, and the board was still going the same direction it had been previously, 90 degrees to where we were going. Yeah. I did much better on rollerblades letting him pull me, but I was much younger and stupider then, so.
And that story, even though I'm sure the dog was bigger, I'm picturing a very tiny dog, which makes it more fun.
So was I, actually, like this little, like, Yorkshire Terrier. Yeah.
He was a Dalmatian, but he was a runt of the litter. So he didn't look like that beefy Dalmatian you see. Like, he looked really like a malnourished Dalmatian, like, throughout his life. Really pale spots and stuff. I mean, he was fine. He was healthy. He just, you know,
just didn't eat well. Just didn't look it?
Yeah, he just didn't eat well as a kid. It didn't, you know, grew up in this like weird, you know, Dalmatian thing that wasn't the Dalmatian anybody wanted. I wanted him. I loved him. He's a great dog.
Wasn't a Dalmatian that anyone wanted. That sounds like a children's book.
The Dalmatian that no one wanted.
He was great when we got him when I was in, I guess, high school probably. And then I went to college and came back, and he would, like, he always, you know, be waiting on my bed when I came home from college and stuff. And then when I got married, like, Ron and I would go over and steal him from time to time and take him out, you know, park and stuff. And we went out one time, this kid had been eating Cheetos, and because he was mostly white with, like, very light gray spots, this kid was petting him, and he just, like, had an orange head for the afternoon.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he was a good dog. He was a very friendly dog. Liked to run.
So Wait, what, like, Allison, is Pogonology?
Pogonology,
yes,
is the study of beards.
Nope. That is the wrong definition. We got the study part right. I was surprised that ology actually meant the study of something.
It is.
I
thought I was just making that up.
I knew that to be true.
The study of the wearing of a beard.
Wow.
So, yeah. Some people consider themselves pogonologists, legitimately.
So, I am, like, imagining that situation where someone's wearing a lab coat, like, digging in there and, like, you know, really, like, poking around with, like, a glove on one hand and, like, a little plastic pick on the other to determine, like, growth directionality and age of hairs and...
The whole thing. I mean, like, you can, like barbers consider themselves pogonologists, and then also just people who study the history of facial hair.
Do all barbers consider themselves pogonologists, or just well-versed just barbers?
Really hipster barbers, I'm
Yeah, that's fair. Well,
barbers in Portland.
Yeah.
There's probably a place in Portland that is, like, billed as, you know,
if they want smart
something branding. Pogonology. Yeah. Oh. I would go there with my shaved face and ask for advice.
You're like, I need a pogonology consultation.
Yeah. Yes. What's the beard for my face? It's going to require the least amount of effort.
Least amount of effort. They're like, just let it grow. See what happens.
Yeah, but I go through, like, a very homeless stage really early on when I'm growing a beard. Like, 5 days in, like, I get that, like, oh, he's fallen on hard times kind of look. And it lasts for like a month, and then it gets thick. But there's, like, that time there where I have to be okay with looking like I should be in, like, a Florida man, like, headshot on the internet.
You have to get over that initial speed bump, yeah.
Yeah, so the only time I've had, like, a really good beard in my life, like, I had that month, and it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Me.
I grew a... my beard out. Well, I did a Thanksgiving beard once, which is when you, the day after Thanksgiving, you just stop shaving. And I stopped shaving until the first of the year. So that's a good, you know, month and a half,
six,
or 2 months. Yeah.
6 weeks, 5 weeks. Yeah.
Month and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And by the end of it, like, my face itched all the time. It was, like, long and scraggly because I wasn't, like, you know, trimming it or anything. I was just like, I'm just going to grow this thing and just see what happens. And I hated it a lot.
Yeah. So how did you recover from that? You just shaved?
I shaved all of it, everything, like, no facial hair at all. I went from having big, bushy, horrible mess to nada.
Like,
I also don't like being clean shaven either. Like, that just feels gross too, but, like, in a different way.
It does. It feels greasy all the time, doesn't it? Like, it's just, ugh. Yeah. I'm good, like, a day. Like, I need to have, like, a day growth all the time.
This is fascinating.
It's weird. Faces are weird. Humans are weird. Bodies are weird.
Faces are weird. Science is weird.
So I saw a thing yesterday that caught my attention. It was a BuzzFeed thing, but it wasn't a BuzzFeed listicle. It was just a BuzzFeed other thing. So apparently there's this picture of like muscle renderings of, except they're not really muscles, but what milk ducts actually look like under the skin. Ooh. And it's really, really cool. But to me, I think it's really cool because they look like flowers. It looks like it looks like what you expect, like, you know, muscle rendering with like flowers stuck on, like, you know, your breasts, your chest pectorals. And it looks amazing, and everybody's totally grossed out by it. Like, oh my God, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, both, like, across gender spectrum, and I was like, that's nuts. Like, I mean,
it's logical, though,
it's
right?
It's amazing. Like, it looks awesome.
Like, you think about, like, natural, I don't know, stuff. And like how like a hexagon is a shape in nature that happens very often when you have like a bunch of circular things that butt up against each other that have, they have to fit together. Like a hexagon is naturally the way they fall into place. So I feel like that's probably naturally the way that ducts would work, because like it seems like a very natural shape. I mean, it works for flowers, right? Like I have to spread out in like a environment, you know?
It also said that they spoke to, like, I guess, like a breast cancer expert or something, and they said that breast cancer usually happens when one of those those nodules gets, like, cancer, and that's, I mean, that's what it that's what it is when one of those things gets messed up.
Hmm.
So it's interesting to actually sort of be able to, like, visualize what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Within an actual shape.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
But literally, it looks like a flower. It looks you get a flower, you picked a flower, and then you stick it like with the you know, the petals like facing you right here.
Mm-hmm.
Giant flower pasties.
So weird.
So usually we do questions at about this time. So, as always, listeners, if you're out there, you can ask us questions. In fact, we encourage you to ask us questions. You can ask us questions on Twitter, and we'll get them somehow. Or you can ask us questions through the website.
Who knows how Twitter works? You can ask us questions on Twitter, and somehow we'll discover them.
Yep. You can ask us questions on the website, which is binaryjazz.us. And leave us a review if you're listening to us on one of the podcasty things, I guess, because that's a cool thing to do. Also, like and subscribe on YouTube. But our questions all come from Allison, because they're coming from the vaults. And I'm going to skip the most entertaining question, which is, what is the most embarrassing piece of clothing you own? So, most of my embarrassing clothing I have gotten rid of.
Yeah.
But I still have one piece of embarrassing clothing, which is, my dad thought it would be a good idea to get everyone in the family matching Reynolds sweatshirts that say, like, property of Reynolds family sort of thing. Like, those old, like, they look like gym sweatshirts.
Yeah.
They all say Reynolds. And that is, and then we all had to take a picture together with our Reynolds sweatshirts.
Yeah. And don't want to let that pass. That needs to be captured.
And I think I've worn it maybe once or twice ever, because it is probably the most embarrassing article of clothing that I own. Because it is so dorky.
That's classic, though.
I don't know. Like, Rhonda always says I look terrible in pleated pants, but I have a pair of pleated pants that I really like. So
it depends on who, like, it depends on the embarrassment to who, I guess.
Yeah, so she hates when I wear those. I think they're comfy. I don't really care how they look.
So we've been watching the show Bon Appetit. It's on Viceland, and it's in its third season, and the first two seasons it was just all about, like, some dude who's an obvious stoner dude that's been cleaned up somehow, has like infinite, like, this ridiculously huge house, and is hosting these like amazing, and it's a reality show, so it's not like they're making this up. They've just bought this really expensive house. They got this ridiculous stoner dude and cleaned him up, and he's now hosting these like high-end, like, very fancy parties where the chefs cook with cannabis. So the third season, and both, I mean, we watched a couple episodes here and there, and it's like, oh, this is kind of okay. Like, parts of it are interesting, and parts of it are just like, oh my God, you're driving me nuts, because the guy was just like annoying as all hell. So the third season, which is the new current season, they've changed it up, and now it's a cooking competition. So they have three chefs, and they have a theme, and they all have to cook with cannabis in each of the dishes. And it's like three, it's like they make a infusion, and then they have like special ingredients that they have to use. And then they make like a savory dish, and then they make a dessert. So it's like basically sort of 2 to 3 course meal, three courses. It's usually like an appetizer, and then a main dish, and then a dessert. So two of the people that were in the previous show, not the annoying host, are on the show. And it's also got Be Real from Cypress Hill, which I didn't realize that was his name. And I didn't know any of the Cypress Hill guys' name anyway. But Be Real is a member of Cypress Hill, and he's on it. And they invite various like guest hosts or guest tasters, I guess. So they had like George Clinton one time. But most often they have like just like, they have like people from like hip hop, like rappers and stuff. And most of the time they're like, it's just ridiculous because they're like, totally stoned already. And they've been eating food that has THC infused in it. And they're getting like, and so like by the end, it's like barely coherent. And the guy they had on the show, the most recent episode, was Drom, who's a rapper I've never heard of. But as soon as he came on, he looked completely like zonked out. And like, by the end, it was like, he was barely able to make sentences. And Aaron says to me, like, I'm embarrassed for him.
On his behalf.
On his behalf. He's not smart enough to be embarrassed for himself. I am embarrassed for him.
Or at least not sober enough to be embarrassed for himself.
Oh, what a delicious experience, though. That's funny.
So there you go. That justifies your story about having somebody being embarrassed on your behalf, Gary.
Oh,
do you actually own any clothing that you would consider embarrassing?
That's a good question. If I do, I don't wear it. Like obviously. There's a bunch of stuff in my closet I'm like, oh, I need to get rid of. You know, so probably amongst that.
I got once this this button-up shirt from a secondhand store that, like, if you think about, like, fake 1970s era, like, cowboy, that's basically what this shirt would emulate.
I don't know what you're describing, but the image in my mind is priceless, so.
It's like Wait. Artificial like retro chic cowboy style thing, and I got it just because it was just priceless. Like, I knew that I'd probably never wear it, but if there was an occasion where I needed to be a cowboy, this would be awesome. Yeah.
You're like, this is what I need to have in my closet.
Yes.
So before our company trip to Panama, I went to a thrift store to buy like, you know, nice button up like beach shirts that I don't own, you know, like old man type shirts, you know, like very much old man type shirts. So I bought them and I wore them all like, you know, once or twice down there and came back and I'm like, I'm never going to wear these again. So I took them back to the same thrift shop and just put them back in the clothes donation box. Well, then on Saturday I was kicking around and I said, oh, we'll poke our heads in there with Tyler and, Charlotte. And I had to go back to the rack and check. And sure enough, all three were hanging there for sale again. We ended up buying a baseball bat.
Still looking for a home.
I was going to say, did you end up buying one of them again?
No.
Like,
maybe if they're still there next year.
You get to the store, it's like, hey, actually, this I kind of like this. And then you wear it, and like, oh, no, I don't like it at all.
I mean, I kind of treat that store like a rental place. Like, I pay, and then I wear it several times and then take it back. So I have some jeans I've worn a couple times. I'm like, these aren't really me. Back they go. But everything is, like, you know, under $5 there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, like, I mean, I don't have to ever dress up for work. I may as well try on some different clothes. Like these fantastic khakis I'm wearing today. Super comfy.
Ready for a hike.
Yeah, my hiking khakis.
Hiking khakis.
Hiking. I don't know. So does Zoom just keep going?
I don't know. I think we're past the point where it should have kicked us off. So I think it's doing some like promo thing, or maybe somehow I got like a premium account and I didn't realize it. At any rate, we could probably do one question and then kick off, and I'll interrupt you and pretend like the
just kill it. Just wait till the opportune time and kill it. Yeah.
Right. So we'll go on to when did you last sing to yourself, and what song? So I can answer this. I don't have a song because I basically sung the entire album. I was listening to the new Chromeo album on the drive back from Southern Utah before we put the book on for the kids, because we listen to audiobooks in the car, and my son like basically demands that be on all the time. And we're like, no, we're going to listen to music this time. So yeah, I sung the entire new Chromeo album pretty much. What's that album called? Spotify, help me out.
I was like, I don't think Spotify is the thing that responds.
Not yet, anyway.
That's the thing that I listened to most recently. It is called, Head Over Heels is the new album.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I mean, I sing to myself all the time, but I can't remember what the last one was. Or even a very recent one.
I was singing
Eye of the Tiger while I was disposing of a pile of wood in the backyard with a chainsaw.
Eye of the Tiger. That's
100% serious. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. And then my son came back, and then it was out loud as well as to myself. And he's like, just go stack these up front, okay?
Exasperated sigh.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I mean, I'm with you. I'm doing the same thing myself to myself. No.
I think I was singing something from the latest Lizzo album to myself. Was my, yeah.
I've been doing a lot of dancing with Charlotte the last couple of days too. So I guess there's likely something that happened in there. I was singing while dancing with her.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.